Charles Earl Bowles, also known as Black Bart, was one of the most notorious stagecoach robbers in the late 1800s. Black Bart was often considered a gentleman bandit. He had a reputation for style and sophistication, and he was known for the poems he left behind after some of his robberies. As he terrorized the Wells Fargo stage line, Black Bart's name struck fear in people's hearts. From San Francisco to New York, his name became synonymous with the danger of the frontier. He robbed 29 stagecoach crews in and around Northern California and Southern Oregon during the 1870s and the 1880s. Amazingly, Black Bart did it all without firing a shot. Because he wore a hood, no victim ever saw his face. He never took a hostage, and he was never trailed by a sheriff. He was captured in 1883 and spent 4 years in prison. While he was in prison, Black Bart revealed that his shotgun was never loaded when he committed robberies. He said that he did not need to fire a shot. All he had to do was use fear to paralyze his victims. He said, "Fear, the face of the unknown, was my weapon of choice, my weapon of intimidation." Fear is one of Satan's greatest weapons. Fear dominates many people. It is their only consideration in deciding many things. The one talent man lamented, "I was afraid," and he got busy digging. Gideon released all who were fearful and afraid. No concern for honor, no concern for duty, no concern for loyalty. They were all afraid, so they ran home. Fear before duty is cowardice, and it produces an ugly mess in actions and in character. In Leviticus chapter 26, verses 36 and 37, God told the Israelites that when they entered Canaan, if they turned away from serving him, here's what he would do. He would make their hearts so fearful in the lands of their enemies that the sound of a wind-blown leaf would put them to flight. He said they would run as though fleeing from the sword, and they would fall even though no one was pursuing them. They would stumble over one another as though fleeing from the sword even though no one was pursuing them. He said, "So you will not be able to stand before your enemies." Many people wish they were fearless. They presume that is the fabric of heroes. But that's not the case. Fearlessness is not a virtue. It requires no character to face what you do not dread. One who is completely fearless is either grossly ignorant or a fool. A more well-known poet, Alexander Pope, wrote a poem in 1711 in which he penned the famous line, "Fools rush in where angels fear to tread." Someone once told me of a quote that I later learned was from Oswald Chambers. Oswald Chambers is probably most well-known for his devotional entitled "My Utmost for His Highest." He said, "When you fear God, you fear nothing else, whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else." Now, this is true, sort of. The Apostle Paul endured social rejection. He endured prison, beatings, stonings, impending death. And we might think of him as a fearless iron man, but that's really quite inaccurate. For example, in Acts chapter 18, Paul had gone to Corinth after being in the city of Athens. He was alone in Corinth, which was a very ungodly city. We're told in Acts chapter 18, verse 5, that Timothy and Silas came from Macedonia to be with Paul in Corinth. Then we read that Paul was constrained. He was forced or compelled or coerced by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But the questions can be asked, why did Paul wait until Timothy and Silas arrived? Why did Paul have to be compelled by the Spirit? Why did God have to tell Paul in verse 9, "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." Later, Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3 and said, "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling." Many people want to be fearless, But the lack of fear is not necessarily that which is to be desired. Rather, the courage to overcome fear is the desirable attribute. How do we develop this courage? I'm going to suggest two ways. First, we must learn to fear God more than we fear anything else. Second, we must develop a faith in God that is strong enough to put fear in perspective. Flight 93 was United Airlines' scheduled morning transcontinental flight across the United States from Newark International Airport in Newark, New Jersey, to San Francisco International Airport in California. On Tuesday, September 11, 2001, the Boeing 757 aircraft operating the route was hijacked by four Al-Qaeda terrorists as part of the September 11 attacks. After the hijackers took control of the plane, several passengers and flight attendants were able to make telephone calls. By doing this, they learned that attacks had been made on the World Trade Center in New York City and on the Pentagon in Virginia. The intended target of Flight 93 was the U.S. Capitol building. One of the passengers, named Todd Beamer, managed to make a phone call using a phone located at the back of the plane seat. The call was routed to General Telephone Electronics Supervisor Lisa Jefferson in Oak Brook, Illinois, on the western edge of Chicago. Todd was on the phone with Miss Jefferson for several minutes, and he told her that some of the plane's passengers were planning, in his words, to jump on the hijackers and fly the plane into the ground before the hijackers could carry out their plan. Todd Beamer also recited the Lord's Prayer with Lisa Jefferson. According to Miss Jefferson, Todd Beamer's last audible words were, "Are you guys ready? Let's roll." As a result of their efforts, the plane was crashed into a field in Stony Creek Township near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, about 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh, and about 150 miles northwest of Washington, D.C. Everyone on board, including the four hijackers, were killed. On that same day, over 400 emergency workers, firefighters, and police officers gave their lives in horrific ways to help and to save others. Many of them died racing into a blazing inferno while everyone else was fleeing the same. Were these people fearless? No, but they overrode their fears with a greater fear. The drive, the motivation, the desire to help save others was more powerful than the fear of dying. The fear of doing nothing compelled them to override the fear of death. You have fear being overridden by fear, a terrifying, almost numbing fear being revoked by a greater fear. One who is terrified of spiders in a basement would gladly seek shelter there if they were escaping an angry bear. A few spider bites are quite insignificant in comparison to a bear attack. In Matthew 10, verse 28, Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." This verse employs a common literary device found in Scripture, which is called a not but construction. It's a device which focuses on emphasis. Its purpose is to de-emphasize one thing while emphasizing something else. This text de-emphasizes fearing man while emphasizes fearing God. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. To put it in simpler terms, do not fear man, but fear God. Any normal person would be afraid of torture and a violent death. Jesus is saying that we need to fear God more than that. How foolish to save one's life in disobedience to God and forfeit his soul in eternity. There's a message for us in this during the current crisis. The message is this: natural disasters and epidemics create anxiety and fear. Fear for friends and loved ones, fear of personal harm, of loss, or one's own life. Even in the midst of such turmoil, we must have a greater fear of God. than we have for our own well-being. There's only one thing the Bible tells man to fear. The Bible never tells us to fear man. The Bible never tells us to fear natural disasters or to fear diseases. The Bible tells us only to fear God. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, "The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge." And Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, "The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom." Jesus said, as I alluded to a moment ago, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" And that's the question. The best way up to overcome fear of man, fear of natural disasters, fear of the coronavirus, fear of COVID-19, is to fear God more. On one occasion, Jesus and the disciples were sailing on the Sea of Galilee at night. A violent storm suddenly came up, as Mark tells us in chapter 4, verse 37, that a great windstorm rose and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Matthew's account says in chapter 8, verse 24, that the boat was covered with the waves. Naturally, the disciples were afraid. They woke Jesus, and after calming the storm, Jesus said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" I've got a question. Would you have been fearful? Probably. Would I have been fearful? Probably. The problem here was a failure to see the ruler of the universe in back of the storm. Faith sees the rest of the picture. It is the worldly who see only the here and now. Faith sees beyond the moment. Faith sees beyond the persecution. Faith sees beyond the tornado, beyond the virus, beyond the pandemic, beyond the momentary financial or physical hardship, to the hope of a resurrection. Hebrews 11 speaks about those who lived lives of faith and who died for their faith. Verse 35 refers to some who were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain, the text says, a better resurrection. We recently talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 3. They were brought before King Nebuchadnezzar because they refused to bow down and worship his idol. He threatened them with being burned to death. They made it quite clear that they feared God more than they feared him or his furnace. Faith sees our helper when we are helpless. Faith sees our invisible companions when we think we are alone. You recall in 2 Kings chapter 6 where the prophet Elisha's servant woke up one morning and saw the city surrounded by an army. He was understandably shaken. He was clearly fearful, and he cried out to Elisha. And in chapter 6, verse 17 of 2 Kings, we're told, "Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." As Paul said in Romans chapter 8, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" That's chapter 8, verse 31. Paul then goes on to say, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" He goes on in verse 37 to say, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." We need to find comfort in that. Faith in God puts fear in perspective. Some Christians may beat themselves up because they are easily intimidated. They're just cut out fearful. They are naturally anxious. They are more fearful than others. As we mentioned earlier, Paul was afraid, and God had to tell him, "Do not be afraid." Abraham was afraid because of his fear of these men. He lied to Pharaoh in Egypt. He lied to Abimelech and Gerar. Elijah was afraid of Jezebel, and he ran for the mountains. Peter was afraid of his accusers, and he denied the Lord three times. Paul, Abraham, Elijah, Peter, all these men had fears. All these men loved God and were blessed by him. Fear is a crippling enemy. All of us have fears. Fear in itself is not wrong. Fear can help us stay away from things that are harmful. Fear can drive us away from the things of the world. Fear can help us see how helpless we are in the face of imminent danger. And fear can drive us into the arms of God. "Be with me, Lord," is a song we sometimes sing. Here are the lyrics. "Be with me, Lord, I cannot live without thee. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the loads of life unaided. I need thy strength to lean myself upon. Be with me, Lord, and then if dangers threaten, if storms of trial burst above my head, if lashing seas leap everywhere about me, they cannot harm or make my heart afraid. Be with me, Lord, no other gift or blessing thou couldst bestow could with this one compare, a constant sense of thy abiding presence, wherever I am to feel that thou art near. Be with me, Lord, when loneliness o'ertakes me, when I must weep amid the fires of pain, and when shall come the hour of my departure. For worlds unknown, O Lord, be with me then." I hope these thoughts have been helpful for you.